Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of The Experimental Homesteader. I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson, and today's topic is the October garden. And I know a lot of you are thinking that the only thing to do in the garden in October is clean up, but that's simply not true. There's a lot of plants that you can plant in October in the garden. For example, today I was out in the garden planting radish and lettuce and carrots. Yesterday we transplanted some tomato plants, and those are going to be inside of a tunnel house, which will allow another couple months worth of harvesting without heat. I am here in Indiana, zone 5 and 6, so it does get cold here in the wintertime. Last year, I was able to keep tomatoes alive through January in a small tunnel house. And I do want to mention that the smaller the house, the warmer it seems to keep it. The larger the house, I guess the more heat that escapes. And a tunnel house is nothing more but a large cold frame that you're able to walk into. You can build them yourself out of 6 mil plastic and wood or conduit. They are really great for overwintering a lot of vegetables and some flowers that don't need the heat. They just need to be kept above freezing. So what should you be planting right now? Well, spinach and stocks, for one. If you plant stocks now, they should bloom in late March. Of course, that's going to depend on the amount of heat that you have. If you do heat your tunnel house, they're going to bloom faster than if you don't heat your tunnel house. But if you don't heat it, they will remain alive, and they will sprout earlier in spring than the ones that you can put in the ground, and they will bloom sooner. Other things that you can plant right now is kale. Of course, outside fall bulbs, but if you plant a few fall bulbs, such as tulips or daffodils or hyacinths, inside of your tunnel house or cold frame, they're going to come up sooner and bloom sooner. And if you're doing anything for the cut flower market, even if you're selling cut flowers on the sidewalk, this is good, because the earlier you can get flowers, the easier they're going to be able to sell, and the more premium price that you can get if you choose to. Larkspur is another flower that does great in the cold frame. Just go ahead and direct seed that on the ground. Dutch iris as well. And so you can get a little bit of flowers along with your vegetables. Snapdragons are another one. Sweet woodruff and sweet chicey if you're into herbs. Sweet alyssum and bachelor's buttons are other good flowers to direct sow, either in the tunnel house, in a cold frame, or directly in the ground, because these seeds will sprout come spring. And if you're going for winter sweet peas, go ahead and sow those now. And I'm not talking about the edible sweet pea, although you can plant those too. I'm talking about the flowering sweet pea. And there is a variety known as the winter sweet pea. And just be prepared to stake them, because a lot of plants that are grown inside of a tunnel house will get a lot taller than they will if they are grown outside, because they don't have the wind. They don't have the weather conditions to deal with, and normally the soil and the care they get in the tunnel house is going to be a little bit greater than what they would get just in the average garden. If you have questions, I would like to invite you to call in. That number is 626-657-2120. And as we've talked about before, there are a lot of self-seeding crops. And while you're out in the garden in October cleaning up, you're going to want to leave some of these crops in the ground. Let the seeds stay on the plants. Let them drop. Worry about doing the cleanup in spring. Some herbs that will self-seed include cilantro, cutting celery, sometimes basil, chamomile, parsley, and dill. And the ideal time to plant parsley is August, but you can still be planting it in October. It will still come up. Once you get parsley and dill going, if you just allow them to self-seed, they will spread all over your garden. But this is okay because parsley and dill is a host plant for butterflies. And so go ahead and let them spread. Let the butterflies lay their eggs on them. And when the caterpillars hatch, they are going to eat those plants. And that's going to help keep them away from your main crop that you want to use to harvest for your own spice blends during the winter or to have fresh. Some vegetables that will self-seed. And mind you, when I say self-seed, these are going to make it through the winter. Once you plant them, once you let those seeds drop, you're never going to have to plant these again unless you want to move them to another area of the garden. And you may be wondering, how do you keep pests away if you allow the vegetables or flowers to grow in the same place every year? Well, the answer to that is companion planting. Put plants around these that will either trap or chase the pest away, because there are some plants that pests simply do not like the taste or smell of, and so they won't go near them. Okay, these vegetables that self-seed include spinach, parsnips, pumpkin, tomatillo, radish, tomato, rutabaga, winter squash, turnips, the various mustards, lettuce, orange, kale, carrots and collards, broccoli, amaranth, arugula, and beets. Now, when you let carrots self-seed, you want to make sure you don't have any Queen Anne's lace on your property because they will cross-pollinate. And you don't want to eat the root of Queen Anne's lace. So do make sure of that. If you do allow Queen Anne's lace to grow wild on your property and you want to allow it to flower, then I suggest that you protect the carrots with frost cover or bag the seed heads, pollinate by hand, do something to keep these flowers from cross-pollinating because you really, really don't want that. Okay? And then there are a variety of flowers that will also self-seed. And you probably know the ones. You planted them, a lot of them. These are annuals. And you go out the next year in your garden and you think, hey, doesn't that look like calendula? And sure enough, it is. So here are some good ones to start with. Poppies. The absolute best way to keep poppies going in your garden is to let them self-seed, because the seeds need the light, and when they drop on the top of the soil, they're going to germinate. The winter weather is going to press those seeds down into the soil so they make good contact, and in the spring, you're going to have a field of poppies. Sunflowers, believe it or not, that's why you see sunflowers popping up under bird feeders and in different areas throughout your garden. Sweet alyssum, viola, calendula, of course, celosia, nasturtium, cosmos, bachelor buttons, cleome. There are just a ton of annual flowers that will self-seed. And then, of course, you have the perennial flowers that you know if they drop seed, they're going to self-seed because they're, of course, hardy in your area. Don't forget to mix your herbs, your vegetables, and your flowers together. So that you have the companion planting. so you get the beneficial insects coming into your garden. So you don't have to spray, and your vegetables don't get all ate up by bean beetles or cabbage worms or whatever's out there. Now, with that said, if you don't want these crops to come up and have a fall or winter garden, then you're going to want to wait until later in the year, probably December or January to plant. And then they will come up in the spring. And this is one of the advantages of allowing plants to go to seed in your garden, because they're going to know the right time to drop those seeds. And this way, if you don't harvest them until spring, you can sprinkle the rest of the seeds on the ground at that time, and they will grow. With that said, if you know you want to grow that crop next year, don't rely on them to just self-seed, because what's going to happen if field mice, birds, severe weather comes along and eats or kills the seeds on the ground? So do go ahead and harvest some seed, but wait until the seeds are completely dry. You're going to know they're dry because they're going to be brown, they're going to be crispy. And when you hold a paper plate underneath them and bend that seed head over, either the seeds are going to fall out, or when you go to grab the seed head with your hand and kind of squeeze it in your hand, you're going to end up with a handful of seeds. You're going to have some chaff as well, which is little bits of the seed pod. It can be little bits of leaves or stems or whatever you've collected with the seed heads. And you can simply let that fall through your fingers, making sure there's a container underneath to catch the seeds. And a lot of that chaff will blow away on the wind. If you're still having problems and you're not getting rid of all the chaff, position a fan and stand far enough away from it so that just a gentle breeze is blowing. And that will help blow some of the chaff away from the seeds, because you really don't want to save that chaff. That's a good way to introduce problems into your seeds, and you just don't want to go there. Again, our call-in number is 1-626-657-2120. And I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson. The name of the show is Experimental Homesteader. And I'd like to take a minute to invite you to my website at experimentalhomesteader.com. That's experimentalhomesteader.com. And on my website, you're going to find a lot of information about homesteading. You're going to find a lot of information about seed saving, about growing plants. You're going to find out about food preservation. You're going to find out some great ways to cook elegantly on a dime. You're going to get some great natural craft ideas. And if you're into animals, we have a whole section on animal husbandry there. So do stop by the website and check it out. Again, that is experimentalhomesteader.com. And I would also like to invite you to check out my two books. There's a free sample download for the Kindle for the Complete Idiot's Guide to Year-Round Gardening. And it will tell you all kinds of tricks and tips to keep your garden going all year long. And we're not just talking about vegetables, we're talking about flowers. Did you know that hellebores begin blooming in November and will continue through the winter, even when there's snow on the ground, right into spring? They're a great plant to try if you haven't tried them. Do find some, plant them in your garden. They take 3 to 5 years to really get looking nice, but you're going to love them. Another thing that I would like to encourage you to do is use some of these winter vegetables as edging plants. For example, lettuce is an ideal edger. Plant it along the edges of your flower beds. Now, if it's not covered with a cold frame, it probably won't make it through the whole winter. but any seeds that drop down and remain in the ground will sprout come the spring. Just make sure you don't plant edible plants and plants that are toxic together, because the toxic chemicals from the plants can go down into the soil and your vegetable plants can absorb them, and you don't want that to happen. So again, as I said, you can keep planting all winter long. For example, here in Indiana, in November, I plant anemone in the greenhouse or cold frame, of course. I plant iris. I plant pansy and violas. Again, a second harvesting of sweet peas. More spinach. And I plant winter potatoes outdoor from the end of November to the end of January. To the end of December. But you could plant through the end of January. The key to this is to have your hole pre-dug, so you don't have to dig it when the ground's frozen, because as you know, if you've ever tried to dig frozen ground, it doesn't work very well. You also want to put a thin layer of straw or leaves in the bottom of the hole so the potatoes are sitting on those instead of actually sitting on the ground. Cover them with another thin layer of straw or leaves, and then put a very, very thin layer of soil on top. You do not need to put these inside of a cold frame. Once the weather warms up, you want to keep an eye on them so you can begin to hill them. And that will give you potatoes as early as late May. And since potatoes take up so much room in the garden, growing them through the winter months is a great way to save your garden space, get more out of your garden, and be able to grow a crop that maybe you don't have room for during the main growing season. Don't be afraid to experiment. After all, that's what growing year-round is about, is learning what crops you can keep alive in your area and how long. If you don't have your cold frame up and you do get a frost and you've already got your winter plants started, one thing that you can do is run a sprinkler system from late evening through the night and keep it going till 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, because you want the frost to kind of evaporate. And the water will keep your plants from being harmed by the frost. This is often done in Florida with orange trees. So use these different techniques and try them out in your area. Again, my name is Sherri Ann Richardson. My website is experimentalhomesteader.com. The name of this show is The Experimental Homesteader, and our guest call-in line is 1-626-657-2120. And I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. I'd love to hear what you grow year-round and what you do in your October garden. So another thing to do this month, if you're not going to plant and you just want to clean up the garden and get it ready for spring, the first thing to do when you're cleaning up the garden, keep an eye out for praying mantis egg cases and other beneficial insect egg cases, because you want to leave those in the garden. Ants are one of the worst enemies of praying mantis egg cases, so don't put those on the ground. If they're attached to a plant stem, leave them attached and just leave that one stem in your garden if that's what you need to do, if you really feel you need to clean up around it. I typically do not clean up until spring unless I'm going to plant in the area. And it does take about 3 years for beneficial insects to really begin to take over your garden. So you do need to be aware of that. But during that time, don't spray. Hand pick if you must. Or use trap plants. And when the trap plant is full of the pest, go ahead and remove it from the garden and destroy the plant. Don't compost it, because that's just going to put that pest and those eggs right in your compost pile. Burn it, put it in a plastic bag, and seal it up and put it in your trash. Get rid of it. You don't want that any place in your garden. Another thing that you can do this month is top dress your beds with compost. It's not going to hurt anything. Put about 3 inches of compost on. If you're using raised beds, go ahead and top those off. That's going to get it ready for the spring and give you a chance to plant sooner in the spring if that's what you want to do. And if you're lucky enough to live around a nursery and they're selling plants of cabbage, Brussels sprouts, kale, other cold crops, go ahead and purchase some of those and plant those. Then put a layer of straw on top, making sure to keep it back from the stems, because you don't want that straw to touch the plant's stem. You just want to insulate the roots a little bit. Put those in a cold frame, and if it gets warm enough during the winter, they will grow and begin to mature. If not, as soon as spring arrives, those plants are going to shoot up and begin to grow, and you're going to be one step ahead. And you're going to thank yourself for this, because there is so much to do in the garden in spring that you really, really don't need to be worrying about getting out there and planting, especially when you could have your crops already planted. And then all you have to do is set inside and start seeds for your summer garden of all your warm weather crops, such as tomatoes, eggplants, peppers. You're going to love this. And so, as I said, my name is Sherrianne Richardson. My website is experimentalhomesteader.com. That is spelled experimentalhomesteader.com. I invite you to come on over, take a look at my blog, ask me questions if you like. And if you're in Indiana, close to here, feel free to shoot me an email and say hey. As I said, we do garden year-round here, and we would love to talk with you. So this is going to wrap it up for today's episode of October Garden, and we'll be back here live in 2 weeks.
GEICO presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, 2 self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. GEICO has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting GEICO.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.